This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
Welcome back, Chris. How
Hello.
Are you?
I am finally recovered from my vaccine side effects.
Things better now then?
Yes.
Good stuff, good stuff. Welcome back. Okay, a busy show lined up for you today. What are we kicking off with, Arv?
We are going to talk about the four phases of the National Recovery Plan.
All right. The Breakfast Grill covered that a little bit this morning. We're going to do some more coverage of that, and I'm sure there'll be coverage of that all the way throughout today on the bigger picture a little bit later on, and then on the evening edition. Mm-hmm. Then we have a story about dating during the pandemic. Not a story I thought I'd be talking about, but when I looked at the numbers, it's something that really interested me in terms of numbers. Not in terms
numbers.
Of dating. I should be very clear on that.
Sure.
Story number three then is about?
Is all about how we are a little bit desperate for dine-in.
All right. Let's get to this four-phase recovery plan then, because I'm a little bit confused about the whole thing. Maybe mm-hmm. you can clarify a bit for us, Arv.
Yeah. So yesterday, the government introduced a four-phase national recovery plan with three specific indicators that will decide if and when COVID-19 pandemic restrictions are lifted during these specific stages. So each of these phases will be based on daily COVID-19 case average numbers, the capacity of the public health system, and the vaccination rate of the general population. This begins with phase one, which is the implementation of a nationwide MCO that is in effect now with COVID-19 case numbers that are still quite high, the public health system, which is at a critical level, and a vaccination rate, which is still low.
Right.
Each phase will see more restrictions towards economic activities and the social sector ease up as each of these thresholds reaches a more satisfactory level, with the fourth and final phase expected to be imposed only towards the end of the year.
Oof.
Yeah. So based on these markers, we are now under phase one, which will move to phase two by July. If daily cases drop below 4,000, fingers crossed, vaccination rate reaches 10% and intensive care unit usage falls to moderate level. So just breaking down the phases even more. In phase one, only essential services are allowed to operate while all social sectors and activities are barred, while phase two will see more economic sectors like manufacturing industry allowed to operate with up to 80% capacity. Social activities and interstate travel will still not be allowed. As for phase three, which is projected for the end of August, the required threshold is for daily COVID-19 cases to drop below 2,000 again, fingers crossed, for the healthcare system to be at a comfortable load, and at least 40% of the population already inoculated with their second vaccine dose. All economic sectors will be allowed to operate except those listed as high risk, such as nightclubs, pubs, conventions, spas, and beauty salons. Also, social activities, including education and certain sporting activities, can resume in stages at that point. Mm. The parliament session can also be held during this phase, which is about around September, October, by following tight SOPs closer to our projection of herd immunity at that point. We can move into phase four once the daily COVID-19 numbers drop below the 500 mark, crossing fingers for the third time, and the healthcare system and ICU bed usage are at a secure level, and once at least 60% of the population is fully vaccinated with both doses. So this transition is expected to happen in October 2021 at the earliest. All economic sectors will be allowed to operate with more restrictions on social activities also lifted at that point. Interstate travel will be allowed, and domestic tourism will also be reopened while being subjected to tight SOPs. And this final phase can be implemented when case numbers are low, the public health system is at a safe level, and the vaccination program has achieved herd immunity latest by end of the year.
So that's the entire year gone then?
That's basically 2021 taken up, looking at the projection levels.
Mm.
Looking at a sort of like an economic perspective, the Morning Run spoke to Jeffrey Williams, who's an economist at Malaysia University of Science and Technology, or MUST. And what he did was Jeffrey spoke about the overall impact of the National Recovery Plan and also what it means to businesses and the SME sector.
Apart from these metrics, like daily metrics, daily cases, ICU, and vaccination rates, what other benchmarks need to be in there?
I think we really, if this is an economic plan, we need to have economic benchmarks. We need to be looking at the number of companies that are closing down. I mean, the SME Association told us already 100,000 companies have closed down, and there could be another 50,000. That was before this plan was announced. So it could be even more than 50,000 would close down further. The Department of Statistics has produced some really great new data on the number of people who are underemployed. That is to say, they're not fully employed. They're taking any sort of work they possibly can in order to make ends meet. And if you add up the number of people who are fully unemployed and the people who are underemployed, 3.1 million people is 19% of the total workforce. So if we're having an economic plan, we have to really look at the economic costs. Now, we estimate the economic costs of this plan could be as much as 170 billion ringgit, which was, according to our estimates, is something like 20 or even 30 times more than it would cost actually to treat people with COVID. And these are the type of indicators we need to look at.
Now, Jeffrey, according to the plan, the earliest we could see large parts of the economy reopen in September, with some sectors remaining closed until the end of the year. You noted there that you have an estimate towards the cost of this all. But beyond the cost, what are some of the potential economic implications of having all these sectors shut down for so long, like taking into consideration the fact that we've been doing this for about 15 months now?
Yes, well, Bank Negara produced their economic assessment earlier this year in their annual report and the economic review, and they pointed to something that we had also highlighted, which is that in economic terms, when you go through this crushing lockdown for extended periods, you get a great deal of what we are calling economic scarring. And what that means is there is a great deal of damage that is done, and it doesn't repair itself quickly. And from that perspective, Bank Negara have said that the underlying growth rate of the economy could be as much as 1.3% lower as a consequence of this than it was before the crisis. And what that means is its capacity, its business activity, its revenues, its jobs that are gone and that won't come back. And that's the consequence of stretching out the economic recovery plan.
Yeah, so that was Jeffrey Williams, who's an economist at Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Just a quick recap, looking at this very useful chart that's on the Malay Mail. So we're in phase one now. To enter phase two, we need less than 4,000 daily cases. 10% of the population should be vaccinated. Phase three, less than 2,000 daily cases. 40% of the population vaccinated. And finally, phase four, below 500 daily cases. 60% of the population vaccinated. The reason I say that is because, guys, sign up for your vaccinations if you haven't already.
Please do.
Like, at this point, you have to sign up if you haven't already on the app, right?
Yeah. It's really, really sobering when you hear it put like that, you know? And as Roshan said, you know, we've been doing this for 15 months. It's been a struggle already this 15 months, knowing that we have 9 months left of this, perhaps, you know, or whatever it is to actually get through. And just trying to put your head into that space of like, okay, heads down, let's get things done, let's get vaccinated, let's move on slowly and get through it. And then you look back at what was happening just like a year ago, and we were all kind of like, numbers are coming down, things are going great, and then we just had that.
We felt so close.
So close, right? And what worries me is that we're going to come to the end of this plan and think, you know, and then it's just like, okay, and we can start opening things up, and yet again, I'm worried that we're going to see another spike at the end of this year.
Yeah.
That's what really, really worries me. And then what do? You can't have a plan C.
Like, register for your vaccine. If you've gotten vaccinated, still follow the SOPs. It doesn't exclude you from the SOPs at all. Still wear your mask. Still wash your hands. Still sanitize, you know, and don't get complacent, because let's please get out of this by the end of the year.
Yeah, please. Of course, we are going to be stuck inside by the looks of things for the next foreseeable future. And with that in mind, our next story, we'll be talking a little bit about that. It's about dating in the time of COVID, a little bit of a change in pace. But there's some really, really interesting numbers to look at and go through. And then we actually hear from somebody, Violet Lim. She's a co-founder of Lunch, actually, and they're Asia's first and largest dating company. They did a survey recently about dating and vaccinations. So That's something interesting to talk about when we come back after the break. The Steve Miller Band up first with Rockin' Me here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.